He drives a sleigh, comes down the shaft, the sack of toys for Matt and Matt. A little round belly with a face that's broad. Never mind, it's just AY. It's gift season, what a time to be alive. Gift season for all the girls and for guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha ha.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Bit Season. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm an exhausted Matt Valdez.
This is episode 16, and it is just moments after the holiday drinking Christmas extravaganza junkie show.
Yes, it is the annual drinking show. It's actually the best show of the year for all the P1s, and it's the worst show of the year for producers.
It's been a slog today. Zim just left. Lurch was fanboying around for about a half an hour.
I mean, Jason was trying to prove his MLB knowledge to Ryan Zimmerman all post-show. Jason never sticks around post-show, and nope. He was here for, what, 30, 40 minutes after the drinking show ended? Peppering him with questions?
Yeah, not even interesting stuff. It's stuff about baseball.
Lurch was so psyched in his loins for Ryan Zimmerman that when we left, he says, "What's your guy's Venmo for your Christmas bonus?"
Oh, yeah. That was the biggest
surprise in the world.
That was manna from heaven right there. I couldn't believe that happened. Before we get into the drinking show today, we got a sponsor we'd like to thank and tell you guys about.
Yeah, we need to thank Magnolia Admissions. Magnolia Admissions offers coaching on the college and law school application process, from mock interviews to help with personal statements. One of our P1s, Dave, he's awesome, runs Magnolia Admissions. He graduated from an Ivy League school, so you know he's a brainiac, you know he's smart, and he's conducted admissions interviews for over 15 years and has received thousands of applications as an admissions committee member. Make sure your loved one doesn't turn into AWOD. Visit magnoliaadmissions.com and mention Bit Season for a listener's discount. And speaking of AWOD, AWOD is out today. We could have used his help during the drinking show and for Bit Season.
I disagree. Now, AWOD is sick. I don't think it's COVID. He just said that he didn't want to come in.
It's error on the side of caution.
Yeah, and that's fine. Interesting few days here getting ready for the Christmas show. And I think the real stunner was last night. We got a text from Cakes, who said he wasn't coming in today.
Yeah, we were scrambling our butts off trying to figure out how to involve Cakes. This is what I don't understand. Cakes says, "Oh, I'll go into the office and I'll go pick up a Comrex." I'm like, well, dummy, everyone surrounded by you has COVID.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he thought that through, but I do appreciate the effort by Cakes because this is his vacation week. He could have just punted the entire thing and said, you know, I'll catch up next week or whenever I'm back.
Can you thank me a little bit?
For what?
Because I know you were napping yesterday when all this went down. Because this was prime drab nap time, 3:30.
It was, yeah.
All right. And then I had to noodle how we could get Cakes a Comrex and let's not keep him let's not have him come in studio. Let's keep him in the area that he's in. Because all I was thinking about was how I had to go drive into DC, go pick up a Comrex, go drop it off at his doorstep so he could participate in the show. And I noodled the idea of him picking up EB's Comrex at his garage so that we didn't have to do any hard work.
I do appreciate that. It was some quick thinking by you. Yeah, I was taking a siesta. That's fine. I earned it. And you know, all hell broke loose when I was taking a nap. We got it figured out. Props to you. And Cakes did a gift swap with EB. And that was able to work on the show today as well.
Yeah, because I didn't want him to be empty-handed and just staring at his computer screen and only. He needed to be involved.
Now, we could get to it later, but I definitely got boned out of the white elephant because there wasn't really a gift because Ryan brought bobbleheads and we already knew what they were. And so I was like, yeah, I'll just take Ryan's because when it got around to me.
You got boned?
I mean, kind of. I just already knew what was in there.
All right. Well, you know, Ryan Zimmerman loved my gift so much that he left it here in the studio.
Dude, this is embarrassing.
I'm going to let you have his.
You know what? I'm looking at a guac bowl here. Like, you make your own guac.
Yeah, like you would get tableside guac at Uncle Julio's.
You know what? It actually looked nice when he pulled it out, but it's got a big Marshall's tag on it, and it says $9.99.
Well, look at the original price.
And it's got a massive, massive crack in it. This well, wooden bowl. Well,
why do you think it was on sale? And by the way, that's authentic to the Mayans, because you think the Mayans had a guac bowl that didn't have a couple cracks in them?
It probably wasn't made of refurbished wood.
No, but there's also a shaker, a cocktail shaker for you.
All right,
to make margaritas,
that.
And then guacamole infused chips.
As always, the white elephant or the gift exchange gets disrespected. It's in the final few moments of the show when there's chaos. But the 9 a.m. hour was pretty packed, and we had to move the white elephant gift exchange to the end of the show because Zim wanted to be involved in
it. There's a lot of things that I want to talk about, specifically the 9 a.m. hour of the drinking show. Number one, do you think it was embarrassing to have a penis pump in the gift exchange?
I was worried about it all week because I knew that that was the bit that you had planned.
Did you know?
Well, because we talked about it before about doing some like naughty or nice thing, like way to perv up the holiday drinking show. And you told me that you ordered it and that you were going to stick it into the white elephant gift exchange because it was probably smart on your behalf because you wanted to run it by me because Zim was coming in here and know just how inappropriate it would be. And it was inappropriate, and I was worried about it.
Hey, Zim laughed.
Hold on, I'll get to that. Okay. And I was worried about it. Last night, I even thought about putting an ice pack on my chest because I was tossing and turning, worrying about Valdez's penis pump he was bringing into the studio. And I actually thought it worked out great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought it worked out a lot better than I thought.
Now, I told Valdez, I said, if Zim picks up that gift, tell him to grab a different one because I did not want Ryan Zimmerman opening a penis pump on the air.
Right. And he actually grabbed it first. And I said, Ryan, why don't you give that to somebody else?
Oh, you did?
I said that on air. Yeah. And he handed it to Jason. Then he picked up my gift.
Okay. Well, the gift exchange was chaotic. I was happy because I got EB a gift and I was hoping that he would pick that one. And he did. He opened up the Tom Ford, Brian Mitchell cologne. I'm telling you, the tiniest bottle of cologne on earth.
He pulled it out of his pocket because I asked to take a look at it, take a whiff, and it looked like a lipstick, a little compact lipstick eyeliner thing.
Yeah, it's a travel size cologne spray because it was $51. And if you would have bought
$50 for an ounce,
not even an ounce, it's a third of an ounce.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think an ounce it would be like a little tiny little jar or something like that. And so that would, I mean, it would last you a lot longer. Like, I think a normal size bottle of cologne is like 1.7 ounces.
Hey, do you know what I noticed about the gift that Jason basically ran his gift into me.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was weird. What is he? He's like personalizing white elephant gifts.
I probably would have stolen it anyway, because there's a golf hat in there, a sleeve of balls.
What do you mean? You probably, it was all Ravens gear. Who else would want that?
No. There's other stuff in there besides the Ravens gear. But trust me, nobody would want the Ravens gear.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was a sleeve of golf balls. There was like a $25 Amazon gift card, another gift card that he probably got for free from somebody else.
Was there a Bourbon Boulevard gift card in there?
I did not see a Bourbon Boulevard.
I heard through the grapevine that Lurch was hitting up Sam Wiener for gift cards from the sales department.
I bet you he was using them as stocking stuffers for all his buddies.
Oh, you know, that's a great point.
I guarantee you that's what he was doing. But so they had those gift cards, those golf balls, some golf hats, some socks, and then those Ravens, that Ravens stuff. And these hats are really nice. And then he also got me like a bucket hat, a Ravens bucket hat. Do you know what I noticed?
I just realized those are from the McSorleys.
How about they have number 7 embroidered on them?
Do they?
Yes.
Oh my God! So he got some. Freebie.
So Trace flies out to Arizona. Then he goes raiding the McSorley household for all the leftover Ravens
that's
gear.
So embarrassing.
How much do you think
you really spent? Because those are clearly regifted gift cards or something. I bet you he didn't spend a dollar.
Well, he definitely went to Golfdom. I don't know if Buddy at Golfdom hooked him or not.
Jason doesn't pay at Golfdom.
Well, Jason has Golfdom gift cards.
Right, of course.
All right, so he didn't pay. And by the way, so cheap of Lurch. He got one sleeve of golf balls. He didn't even get a box.
Were they Pro V1s?
They're TP5Xs, and there's a great golf balls, but it's not even a whole box of golf balls. It's
How
just
much
a
would
sleeve.
A box be, like $30?
Probably like $50. Oh, bucks.
Wow. All right.
All right. But it's just one sleeve. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he probably kept the three other sleeves for himself.
I'm sure he did. I thought the show today, given the circumstances, we can get into it now. By the way, I should say this before we get too far. This is going to be a rather quick show. I'm sure you're realizing it by looking at it and going, hey, it's not an hour. Valdez and I, we have hours of work in front of us, and it's December 23rd, and we don't want to be here till 7 p.m. tonight. So we'll cut this one short. Plus, there's no AWOD, and we'll come back next
people
week.
People don't realize that the drinking show is an enormous amount of work.
Well,
post-show,
that,
and with vacation looming for us or for you.
And the program director is out, so I think I am the acting program director. At least that's what the email says. So I got a lot on my plate today. Plus, I'm hungry.
I have some guac chips.
No, I don't know. I barely ate this morning.
There's Pamplona in the break room.
It's too old. I'll say this. We've had the Palm come in here before, and I've said the Palm steak is fine. I don't get that size for the Palm when they come in here because I don't like lobster. I don't like cream spinach. And the steaks were always a little bit cold, to be honest with you. I got what I ate from Pamplona today, this half a plate, I got sized for.
Well, do you know Brian Mitchell was on the prowl for fillets about 30 minutes ago?
Hey, you know, I don't blame him. The mac and cheese was great. I had some roasted
potatoes.
Did
you have the paella?
No.
The paella was silly.
It was shrimp paella.
Well, it was seafood paella. So there were shrimp, mussels, lobster meat.
No, I didn't have a chance to get that. But I'll say, I wasn't expecting Pamplona to hit a home run with the food, but everyone was raving about it. So props to Chuck. The girls did great today.
Yes, that was a great feature of the show today, was having those girls just walk in drinks. Yeah. Also, you know what I loved about them? Mm. They cleaned up. They were like real bartenders because they would come in here and take all the empties away.
Those girls were awesome. These weren't lazy bartenders from Bonefish that Jason's getting free drinks from to barely do anything. A couple ugly dudes. These girls were attractive, came in here on point. By the way, they took rapid COVID tests.
Chuck was the day of.
This morning, like at 5:30 a.m. or something before they came in here. We appreciated that. So everybody felt good about having the guest in here.
How did you feel about the guys peppering the bartenders about AWOD?
I thought they were lying at first. I'm like, they don't know who he is. But I asked Chuck afterwards. He goes, yeah, definitely, especially the brunette. She sees him all the time. But she gave the greatest answer ever about why AWOD's not getting girls. And we have told him this. These girls don't know
I wish AWOD was here to basically hear it from the horse's mouth.
And she said what when they asked him, why isn't Adam getting girls?
He likes sports too much.
The perfect response. The perfect response. Because we have told that dummy, stop talking to girls about sports. They don't care. How has he not figured this out?
I don't know.
And he goes in there with his flat-brimmed hats all the time.
Yeah, with his wizard's hat.
Yeah, and just like sports gear. It's like, bro, come on. It's obvious, like you're trying too hard, and they just don't care.
Right. I completely agree with you. And by the way, Chuck not only brought stuff for us and for the show, mm-hmm. he basically brought food for El Zol, and he brought food for PGC and Fresh, too.
Chuck was a MVP
today. And he brought the good hooch, too.
Are you taking any of that home, or did I already leave?
He already left. I don't have any of the good hooch. EB just swiped a bottle of the Jack.
Well, he just texted me. He said, can you put the Jack in your office? And I have no idea where it's
at. Jason's got the biggest bottle of Grey Goose he took home.
I'm a little bit jealous of all that. But I think JP gave you his whiskey or something, right?
I guess Cakes for Secret Santa got booze.
Yeah.
The laziest gift ever.
No, that should be outlawed. Don't you think that should be outlawed?
I think next year, if we do the drinking show, gift cards and booze should be outlawed.
Okay. Well, let's get to that because I've heard that said 100 times today. If this is the last drinking show, if we do a drinking show in the future, why would we stop? Who is making the decision that is leading the charge to stop the drinking show? And why is this year any different from all the previous years where they always say that?
Well, I know one thing. It's not our decision to stop it. I think it's the guys, and all of a sudden they have this come to Jesus moment about how poopy they feel when they go home and how they're not young bucks anymore and they can't process alcohol in the morning. And I get it. I understand that. But I will say that when those lights turned on and that first drink was poured, they were rock stars. And I think in the middle of the show, they realized just how much fun it is.
I think they were having fun, but they pulled up. They stopped at third before rounding home plate. They did. They jogged in, and it's fine because this year was different with the TV thing, and we'll get to that. But none of them were hammered when they left.
Cakes was probably the drunkest.
Cakes, yeah, but Cakes is, he's a gamer, and he took a nap the second this was probably over today.
I thought
kind of stopped drinking a little bit. I thought that they kind of, we had to do a shot around the room because
just to pick them back up.
To pick them back up. When Ryan got here, Ryan toasted the guys and it picked it back up a little bit. But they could have gone a little bit harder than they did. And I don't want to hear about, oh, I got to go to my in-laws at 4 p.m. What was that about? Like, you know, the
drinking. Who said that?
I thought EB. EB said he had somewhere to go at 4 p.m. I thought it was his in-laws.
I know Jason said he's got to go look at Christmas lights later tonight or something like that.
Who cares? What are you? Am I supposed to, you got to be nice? You can't be hungover to go look at Christmas lights?
Yeah, you're not driving.
When are we going to get in on this? Why can't we get a board op and some producers in here and get Drab and Valdez drunk on the show?
Well, I was thinking about that.
If the guys don't want to do it.
If the guys don't want to do it, we should have AWOD carry the load.
He'll yell and scream so much. I've embarrassed the hell out of myself before on podcasts, getting drunk on a holiday show, ripping off the junkies. There's an episode, it's called Bode Black, where I actually get so drunk, I take all my clothes off and I'm sitting in a chair naked doing a show.
Okay. You know, hey, that's the kind of Christmas show I want.
Yeah.
If no one's getting naked, I don't want to listen.
And I spent the entire night laying on the bathroom floor.
Puking your guts out.
In our studio, outside our studio, puking my guts out. That's how it's supposed to be done. Now, I haven't done it since. It's not a yearly thing.
I don't know. I mean, the junks, number one, have to be willing to pass the torch. And then also the sponsorship of it. So Rap has to be willing to pass the torch. To do a booze season.
Right. Now, how can we make, I'm going to give us a pass for the last 2 years. I thought last year was pretty good with the Zoom and we did what we could. This year, we have a lot of restrictions on us and what we could do and what we couldn't do. And you know, getting Zim here was cool, but we couldn't have a lot of people. What can we do in the future to liven this thing up?
I don't know. People always suggest drinking games, but it's just too chaotic.
Right.
There's too much going on to do an organized drinking game.
What about this? What about JP's wet dream of having a P1 party? All right. Like, we've done it before, kind of where we've had invited people, but say next year we get an exclusive list of like 10 P1s, we get D Woods, we get Cowboy Todd, we get Rom, we get all the luminaries here.
Polyflicks
hanging out in the green room, and if they're called upon, they can come in, and everybody brings food or something like that.
So you want like a cast of characters?
I think I do. I don't know. They probably won't be able to drink, but.
Well, yeah, that's the.
A change of pace. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I want the show to be different year in and year out. Today was a lot of phone calls.
There wasn't as many as there has been in the past, but that's kind of what it. This is
very, it's informal.
It needs to be informal, and then it needs to be like the guys being. I need. You know what we need? This is perfect. We need Horsey. We need Pussy. We need Cassidy.
What?
We need all the childhood friends that you would get at Kris Kringle to come hang out, get them sober rides, get them lifts, and have them hanging out with their boys.
What do the listeners care about Stumpy? All
right. The listeners love it because they get to pretend they're one of the boys. And that's why they love the drinking show to begin with.
So we're going to have Kringle
We have their Kringle. in here.
Maybe. That's not a terrible idea. I like the idea of maybe
it's not a bad thought on the fly.
On the fly, yeah. What about if we had it taking it out of here and moving it to like MGM? Say the COVID thing is over and there's no restrictions.
We had it in their sports book at six to 10.
Yeah. That could be massive.
That would be mega.
It's like the B bar at the Borgata, right?
Yeah, that would be massive.
And we have it in the sports book, and we're all betting on
The ponies.
What's airing early in the morning that we can bet?
Cricket. Soccer.
Perhaps some soccer. You know what?
Horse tracks in China and Japan.
You know what? There are. We could have live horse betting.
And then at 7 o'clock.
It's
7 o'clock. All of a sudden, Uncle Kenny shows up. All right. Mm-hmm. And he's telling you what ponies to pick.
You know, let's pitch that to CK about having next year's drinking show
at the sports book.
At the sports book. The guys get hotel rooms the night before.
Yes.
And they late checkout. All right. They go back and sleep all right, it off. All
right, well, you realize this is just going to turn into the poker open then, because they're going to do a meetup the mm-hmm. night before.
Right. I'm for it, and I'm hoping the poker open comes back next year.
Yeah, me too. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like a poker open part two, except there's no tournament.
Well, I think
it's the drinking show.
It would be epic.
It definitely would be.
It'd be epic because during the JPO shows, the guys are sober, so it does have a little bit of a different spin on it.
Right, and then plus they have no tournament to play in after the show.
Right,
so they can go up to the room and sleep it off.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about NBC and the frustrations.
Yeah, you could hear everyone frustrated today.
We're partners with them. You've heard EB take shots at them the last year over the air about the quality of the product.
Yeah, I think we need to explain that first and foremost, because that Eric has hinted at that a lot lately, mm-hmm. and it kind of crescendoed today with the drinking show not being on TV. So how would you explain it to the listener? How the product has deteriorated from, let's say, 4 years ago to today?
Well, NBC had an entire
team
of people in Bethesda. They work out of the NBC Sports Washington studios, just like they produced all the other like Caps or Wizards programming. So they had, let's see, they had a producer, they had a director, they had a graphics guy, they had what was Caroline Brandt? Social media person,
digital
person. So they had at least four or five people working every single morning on the show. Right now we have one person who's working from their home office, basically just flipping a switch on once we connect to their Zoom or StreamYard.
Correct.
And you can tell looking at it, the person who works for NBC can't control any of their cameras from home.
Correct. So yeah.
The HD silly cameras, all the switching that was done for years that made it look unbelievable with the B-roll footage of Caps games or Wizards games or Redskins interviews.
Yeah. So when we talk about the Caps, they would show
highlights from the previous night.
Yeah. Let's say we talked about an OV goal. They would have it ready to go, and they would just all of a sudden show it as the guys are talking about it. We have these...
Or tweets. They'd bring up tweets all the time and show those.
Yeah, we have these $10,000 cameras in the studio. How many do we have? Four or five of them?
Yeah, they're so dusty.
Yeah, those get zero use.
They were specifically installed
for television.
Right, so now we are...
Now we have a Logitech camera pointing at Jason, who doesn't know how to use it.
It's so frustrating. And Jason's camera, we're basically using laptop cameras half the time. And it looks terrible. It doesn't move. You guys have seen it. We're not really explaining anything you don't know about the current setup of it. But we found out yesterday after the show, and which really sucked is that it was after the show that we found out. Now, I heard that they may have mentioned it earlier, but nobody on our show found out till after the show. Like, they may have called the radio station
earlier this week. Basically, at 10:20 yesterday, we got the news that the show was not going to be simulcasted on television.
And I felt so stupid as a producer not letting the audience know that it wasn't going to be on TV, and we could have planned properly for it.
I was having a nervous breakdown yesterday after the show. I called you like around 7 o'clock because I was going nuts. So all I was thinking about is how this is the biggest show of the year, and we're not giving a good enough product to our loyal listeners. And I felt bad about it. I felt like the show was going to suffer. I felt like people were going to miss out. But we put together...
Somebody texted in this morning that they had...
They had a watch party.
They had basically a watch party. They had 10 of their friends all got together to turn on the show this morning, and it was a replay of yesterday's show. And it's just like, God damn it, we have so much potential on this show to put on a great product, and the show, it doesn't look great on TV anymore, and at least we could at least promise one show a year where everybody was having fun and you get a kick out of it.
Yeah, the listeners can forgive, you know, the substandard product for at least one show out of the year because they want to see the guys throwing back drinks.
And let me tell you, man,
Did we explain why they chose not to?
It's not even exactly clear to me why they didn't. I'm just assuming that they don't want to associate themselves with the drinking show or what could have possibly gone wrong during the drinking show.
Right. So they told us yesterday that they basically said, we have off. Or it was like, no one's in studio that day.
Well, there was a problem.
It's a company holiday.
There was a problem yesterday with the show, like there is almost every day, with the video. And I said, hey, tomorrow we got to make sure during the drinking show that everything's working properly. A lot of people are going to be tuning in. I want to make sure that we don't have any technical difficulties. And he said, what are you talking about? We're not doing a show tomorrow. And I literally almost fell on the floor.
Your jaw hit the ground.
Yeah, and this was after the show. I was talking to him about it. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I made a few calls, found out what he said was true, completely stunned, felt so stupid that we didn't let the audience know. That was most importantly. We didn't let them know. Like, we could have said all week, hey, Thursday's the drinking show, radio and stream only. We're not going to be on TV. Don't go looking for there.
We're going to start a hashtag now, and so that way you can kind of see what the bartenders look like. You can see EB drinking and doing the breathalyzer.
And I just didn't have time, and it wasn't to like properly set up the Facebook thing. That was a disaster, but there was no way other way to do it.
We tried.
We tried to give you some sort of visual. We asked you guys to look to the radio and stream. It was what it was. Next year, I promise you, will be better. I don't know if they'll ever show the drinking show ever again, but we'll make sure that we're properly prepared next year when this does happen.
Yeah, we can figure out a way to wire in the mics so that there's audio into a laptop somehow.
We'll hire somebody to stream it on Facebook for us, you know, or have AWOD here. Yeah. and make sure it will look like BetQL does on Twitch. It will look great and it will sound great, but it didn't happen this year, and we're frustrated. You can tell. I didn't want to ruin our day, though.
Right. Trust me, it was consuming me all day yesterday.
Right. So that was kind of the drinking show in a very quick kind of capsule. I want to talk about something, though, before we get out of here, was Jason booking guests. All right. There's a lot we could talk about.
We could spend hours on this.
Yeah. But that was...
All right, as producer, yeah. How did you feel about it?
Well, I didn't really care. He texted me this weekend, and Jason's like neurotic about the two-man shows. He hates them. He thinks it's embarrassing because
it's embarrassing because there's people at this station that do a show by themselves.
They do shows by themselves. There's
AWOD. You know what? AWOD does a show by himself.
AWOD does a show by himself. There's guys all over the country who do it every single day. He's been doing radio for 25 years. He's with his best friends from childhood. It's not a big deal.
No.
And he wants the entire show to be full of guests and sports. And I knew that him doing a show with JP, not ideal, because there's not a lot of room for shtick, especially when you're out. No, like you are a minor cog in this whole thing here.
You know what? I'll take it. Thank you.
You're right. You are a big part of us doing non-shtick, or us doing shtick and having fun and being goofy. Last week was difficult with those guys.
The goofy meter was down
because
it was just
serious sports talk. Tuned into AM radio in Dallas.
Because they
and
don't
do
like being
thing.
Goofy to begin with. And
we've
then
kind of forced them into it. Cakes and EB and Valdez and I, we forced them
into
the bits.
You know, next week's going to be fun. Are you kind of bitter you're missing out?
I am. It sounds like fun and funner.
It is. Yeah. We're going to have guestless shows.
Those guys would love that with cakes and EB. But Jason texts me this weekend and says, hey, I booked a guest for 9:20 on Monday. Jason will text me and say, hey, can we get this guy on? Or, hey, can I text this person that I know, say, Chris Doring, right? Like, yeah, Jason's friends with him. So I'm like, yeah, how about Tuesday at 8 a.m.? That works? All right, good. No, he just texted me and said, hey, I booked this guy at 9:20. He's a Philadelphia Inquirer columnist, and he's stirring everybody up. I'm like, Jason doesn't, how does Jason even know how to book guests?
I don't know.
Like, what does he even know what to say to these people that he doesn't know? Apparently, he read some column because he was prepping himself. He found the guy's email, emailed him, and booked him on the show. And I didn't know the guy was a troll, but Jason, I guess, was into that.
So basically, number one, it's okay if Jason goes above and beyond to book the guest because we kind of know what to look for when we're booking guests, right? So
I thought it was fine. Like, all right, we're doing Eagles thing. All right, we just had Howard Eskin on.
Yeah. Number two, did you notice Jason being uber defensive of his guests?
I know, because that's what happens, Jason, when you book guests. You're responsible for him.
He doesn't realize that when the segment is over, that doesn't mean your relationship is over with this person.
The guy was a troll. We didn't know him. And he was rude to EB. That was the big thing. He was rude to EB.
Look, it doesn't matter.
EB should have hung up on his
ass. I know. I wanted him to hang up on him because when he said, let me finish, my ears perked up.
And
I was waiting for that flush.
And I didn't know if you heard me say this on the show the following day, but I got sice when I heard him say that because I wanted EB to hang up on him because you and me weren't going to have to deal with it because that guy didn't know who we were. I didn't book him. I'll never have to talk to Marcus Hayes ever again, or I never have. So it was going to be Jason's problem. And then he could have had to deal with hanging up on a guest or being rude to a guest. It's a nightmare when that happens.
But it's so weird that he was so over the top about him.
How many times did he say, that's why I booked him?
I'm not going to hear that one.
That's why I booked him.
He just stirs it up. That's why I booked him.
What? You're not even making, that's not even making sense. You're just being defensive of the guy because rude to Eric on the air.
Do you think he was being defensive because Jason didn't want to seem stupid? Not like he should.
Jason didn't want to seem stupid. The one guess he books turns out to be an ass.
Yeah.
Of course. He was responsible for him, just like you and me are most of the other time when the guests come
on. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think Marcus Hayes, columnist, will ever be on the show again?
Not for me or you booking him.
So do you think Jason will ever say, hey, do you think we could reach out to Marcus Hayes and have him on again?
I think he's persona non grata.
All right,
I did like this, though. People were trolling Marcus Hayes on Twitter, and they were tagging like us and the junks in it, and they were saying, never have this douchebag on again. And he responded to someone with, hey, listening to the radio is voluntary. Feel free to turn it off.
That sounds like a pro right there.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what?
Hey,
for him.
Hey, are there any other guests that are on the blacklist, the junkies blacklist?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say him.
It's like Hop Sing.
Who's Hop Sing?
Seinfeld, where he named names.
Oh, he named names.
Yeah, then he don't deliver.
Ed Isakoff. All right, look at you. You are a Seinfeld historian.
I am. Thank you.
Jamie Dukes is on that list because EB and him don't like each other and they would get into fights all the time.
Okay.
Pete Prisco used to be on that list.
Now he's back.
But I booked him like a few months ago and he was really good on the air while EB was out. And then I think I booked him again once EB was back in.
What about Darren Ravel?
No.
We used to kind of book him a long time ago.
Darren was, he's the worst on Twitter.
Yes, I know.
He's like the worst on Twitter, and it's so embarrassing, but he's kind of a big name, and he does have good scoops, so he hasn't been on the show in a long time. But he's never done anything on the show where
it's made him kicked off.
Yeah. No, if you're like rude to one of the junkies, then we'll probably not have you on a whole lot. Sometimes you'll get a second shot, and like he's having a bad day.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but Pete Prisco and Jamie Dukes. Who else was on that list?
the guy.
Bamani.
Oh, yeah, Bamani.
They would always get into fights with Bamani. They didn't really like having him on a lot. I liked Bamani because I like guys that can come on and talk about
anything,
any sport, at any time. Yeah. Doesn't matter if they're
well-rounded in sports.
He just knows he can go on any topics at a moment's notice. So those guys are always good. Bamani's a great radio guest. The guys just got tired of him getting dunked on by Bamani, to be honest with you.
Hey, there's only so many posters you can be a part of.
Exactly. So Jason's show booking days are over.
I'm glad he, you know what? I kind of wish we hung up on him because I would want Jason to have to deal with that.
I know.
That would have been felt good.
I would have been so sized.
that would have felt amazing. And just spend a day in the life of a producer.
About EB letting some guy teabag him on the air?
I actually thought less of Eric.
Like, what happened to you?
That guy's balls were all over his chin.
And he said, well, I did like his response where he said, hey, and I don't even know if, I think this was on air. He told us in the producer room at one point. I think he did say this on air. He said, I didn't want to have to upset Jason and sit next to him. If it was the other guys, I could just ignore Jason for the rest of the day.
He said, if the other guys were in here, Jason could go sulk in the corner by himself and I'd go do a show with the other guys or something basically like that.
And that's happened before.
Yeah, that's definitely happened before. If Eric was quick-witted, he would have, and Marcus Hayes goes, oh, can I finish? And Eric should have went, I'm sorry. Can you start over? All right. And then he gives his word out. And then all of a sudden you hear that dial tone.
And Jason would have been screaming, no, don't do it.
Call him back.
Go ahead. Come back. Tell him we got disconnected.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of when Ron Jeremy used to be on the show.
Yeah.
I think this might have been before you were on with the Junks.
Ron Jeremy has not been on the show since I've been the producer.
So Ron Jeremy was on, mm-hmm. and he would call in, and he would just, all of a sudden, he would just flame. Ron Jeremy would flame about nonsense, and it would go nowhere.
Like Bill Walton.
Yes, exactly. And then the guys would just hang up on him, and then they would laugh. And then Ron Jeremy would call again, and then he was like, I think we got disconnected. All right, and then he would start flaming again, and they would hang up. They did this three times.
But why do they keep putting him back on the air?
Because they just kept hanging up on him. It was funny.
There is
that was an old segment.
I think I remember Brett begging for the guys to have someone back on air after they hung up with him on him because, like, he didn't want to deal with the problem or to give him another shot, and it always just ended up poorly. You can usually tell when it's going bad. I want to say, though, before we get out of here, props to you. You reached out to Seymour Butts on Twitter, and you booked them on the show.
Yeah, I exchanged some emails with them a couple weeks before the show.
The only thing, why was it taking Seymour Butts so long to say yes or no?
I think he might have been connected. I don't know. It might have been his connection. He might have been on speakerphone.
No, because other times he was answering really quickly. It was like he was building the drama.
He's a showman.
I don't know. It was taking too long. Yes or no? We could have found out.
You think it took too long? I thought it hit really well. Maybe I'm biased.
I thought the payoff was great. I thought the payoff was great when they finally figured it out.
Ryan was actually on to it more so than the Junks.
So the listeners were texting in before the Junks were.
Oh, they were.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
I'm not sure they knew it was Seymour Butts, but they were saying Peter North, porn guy.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think about Pete Medhurst tweeting me immediately?
I loved it.
Seymour Butts.
I was envisioning Pete sitting in his in his car eating some fast food,
yeah, having a McGriddle,
listening to the Junks, and him realizing it's Seymour Butts on the line, and having that big S eating grin on his face.
His Coca-Cola squirts out of his nose.
And then Pete immediately tweeted us, great job, boys.
Yeah, reaching for his iPhone 4 to text us, good job.
Yeah. I liked that EB was so well-informed on Seymour's career.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have to use his Wikipedia.
No. Jason was scrambling. Oh, Adam Glasser. Yeah. Looking at his Wikipedia. EB was ready to go.
Now, I was confused because I thought Seymour Butts was also the butt man guy.
Oh, you thought it was too.
I thought it was too.
But just because of Butts.
Yeah, Butts, butt man.
Yeah. No, that was somebody else, apparently.
Hey, were you laughing as hard as I was when EB was describing the food court scene?
EB's got the worst memory in the world, but his porn recall is unbelievable.
He can't remember what he had for breakfast. I mean, he remembers a porno from 1998.
What about when EB said this morning that the drinking show is the only time he's unprepared for a show?
That was laughable.
That's the only time I don't do any prep.
Hey, I will say, EB comes to life during the drinking show, and I do appreciate it.
He does. And
this is his Super Bowl, too.
It is. All the guys do a great job, and I appreciate Cakes and JP especially coming in on their day off and making the best of it. Next year, I promise you, Driving Valdez, I promise you right now, it's going to be bigger and badder than ever.
That's bold.
All right.
Bigger, badder, and bolder than ever.
We got an entire year to start planning this thing. All right. Let's make it great. Yes.
And let's not have JP almost die again.
That was fabulous. I hope he does.
I hope he does.
Well, I don't want him to vomit on the carpet that you and me have to clean up, but yes. I like him being so drunk he passed out in another room. Of course.
That's the only way to stop the flaming.
Right. All right, guys. We appreciate you listening to Bit Season, being part of us. I know today's show wasn't as wacky as some of the other ones have been, but we're just doing a recap show. Adam will be back next week. I'm on vacation, but I will come in on my day off so we can have some fun. New Year's, we'll have a New Year.
New Year Rockin' Eve.
Yeah, I want to find out, actually a little tease for you guys. I think I'm going down to Cowboy Todd's house for New Year's Eve.
God, it's going to be rocking.
All right. So that's the plan, at least right now. Hopefully it comes through. We'll have more for you next week on Bit Season. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. And be sure to check out magnoliaadmissions.com.
Yes. And also check out our Cameo, Junk's producer. If you type that in the search, Jarab will be out next week. So we'll do them whenever we get a chance.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas. Have a great time with your family and loved ones, and we will see you next week on Bit Season.
Yes, Merry Christmas from Bit Season.